Let's go now to the dramatic events unfolding in Egypt, where a short time ago the entire cabinet offered to resign. It's unclear whether Egypt's ruling military has accepted the offer. Egyptian TV is reporting the offer's been rejected, but as I mentioned earlier, Al Jazeera said otherwise. This comes as clashes continued for a third day in Cairo's Tahrir Square. There's 33 protesters have been killed in the clashes. There are still tens of thousands of people crammed into Tahrir Square demanding the ruling military relinquish their grip on power. The BBC's Hugh Sykes is in Cairo. Hugh, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Hugh, why did the Egyptian cabinet decide to offer to quit, to resign?
Well, they're in a very, very awkward position here. Caught between two stools in a way. Let me just go out of the restaurant where I was. Well, I called you. It's slightly surreal. It's a place called Café Riche, an old Cairo institution founded in 1908, 200 metres from Tahrir Square. So all this has been going on just down the road. The main demand of the people in the square is that the military should go, because it's the military that's been dictating what's happening here. They believe that Field Marshal Mohammed Tantawi, who's head of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, is simply a replacement for Hosni Mubarak, who was deposed on February the 11th, memorably, just down the road there in Tahrir Square earlier this year. And so in a way, nothing has changed. And what they want is for the military to go. And this political alteration, I don't think, is going to satisfy people in the long run, because they want Egypt to be a democratic nation with no army supervision. One of the reasons they came to the square at the weekend was to complain about army proposals that they were going to remain in sovereign control over and above a democratically elected government.
Okay.
You either have democracy or you don't have democracy. You don't have somebody supervising it as if they're a bunch of children, and that's what they resent.
So, Hugh, can I just clear up two things? I don't know if you can help us here. Is it clear yet whether the government, the cabinet, which is offered to resign, whether that resignation has been accepted?
Well, I've just been told by somebody who I think is what he's talking about. He says, yes, they have gone. But I have no way of actually confirming that. The situation here is confused.
Sure. And the reason the government has gone, it's the government and the cabinet have issued a statement expressing deep regret over the painful events. And based on this, we've handed the resignation to the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces. Is this the cabinet resigning in protest over the violence that's going on in Tahrir Square?
That's the only interpretation that I can put on it. It's deeply, deeply embarrassing to the civilian government, which is only a transitional government, who are not actually in control of what happens on the street, who are not actually in control of what the police and the army do in Tahrir Square. It is deeply embarrassing to them, all these scenes of vicious attacks by policemen and army on protesters. There's been a shuttle service of ambulances coming out of Tahrir Square all day. I've seen people being carried shoulder high from the front line with the police, unconscious, being treated in field hospitals, temporary field hospitals at the side of the square. All this is deeply, deeply embarrassing to the semi-civilian government here. That can be the only reason that they resigned. Whether that puts any real pressure on the military to go, well, we just have to wait and see.
Hugh, the parliamentary elections are meant to begin next week. What would the resignation of cabinet, of the government, in effect, mean for those elections? Will it derail them?
Well, I don't see why it should. The elections, though, that's another bone of contention here. Elections in most societies take place on a day. These elections start on Monday, and they stretch right the way through in lots of different staggered stages until March next year. And get this, Cairo votes on Monday, November 28th, then different parts of Egypt vote two or three weeks later, knowing the results of the Cairo election. And so that can have an influence on how other people vote. It's a total mess. It's another of the complaints of the crowd in Tahrir Square.
So as of right now, Egypt is a military dictatorship.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's no way of getting away from that. I said at the time, on the air, on the BBC, who I actually work for mainly, it's a delight to be with you. Hello, Australia. But I said at the time, hey, this is great. The crowds are really happy on February the 11th. They are roaring their approval for the removal of their dictator Hosni Mubarak, but actually I said this is a soft military coup because Mubarak was replaced by Field Marshal Mohammed Tantawi. The army remained and remain in control. And the army, don't forget, here is not just a military organization, it's a business. They own vast quantities of real estate. If you've been to a Sharm el-Sheikh holiday resort, it's almost certainly owned by the army. They own the land that gated residential communities are being built on.
Uh-huh.
They have olive oil factories, milk factories, cement factories. There's an estimate that the army business here accounts for between 10 and 15% of the entire Egyptian economy. So, you know, the army have a huge amount to lose if they
okay.
stand down.
All right, Hugh, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for bringing us up to date.
You're very welcome. I'm sorry I'm not more clear about what's going on.
Well, it's just a sign of how clouded things are and how quickly things are moving. Hugh, thank you so much. The BBC's Hugh Sykes joining us from Cairo and just repeating, 33 people have now been killed in the protests since Saturday, and latest reports say 1,250 people have been wounded being tended at roadside hospitals.